This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello, you're listening to the latest Liverpool Echo Blood Red Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Addison, with Paul Gorse, Theo Squires and Rich Garner all with me this afternoon. No games, of course, to talk through this week, but there was some news around Curtis Jones getting a new and extended contract at Anfield. We'll start with that. We'll talk a little bit about the World Cup as well, though. I have to say, it doesn't quite feel like it is the eve of a major tournament. We'll come to all of that in just a few minutes' time. But, of course, they'll come to you first. Obviously, Curtis Jones, one of the bigger news stories of this week. It came out of the blue a little bit, but no doubt good news for Curtis. Good news for Liverpool as well, I'd say, despite a mixed reaction on social media, as you might expect. But, certainly a positive for the young Liverpool midfielder.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the kind of like mixed reaction thing from social media, because more and more idiots just kind of infest sites like Twitter, don't they? I've never heard anyone in person criticise Curtis Jones. You might have reservations over certain things that he's able to do or certain things that he doesn't do, or whether he's kicked on enough during his career. I think he's played 80 odd times for Liverpool now, but he's only 21, and you know, if you're looking at someone who's that young, who's kind of achieved what he has already in the game, you're looking at someone who's got so much potential, aren't you? You know, if he was on the market, you'd be thinking he'd be someone who'd do a really good job for Liverpool for the next 5 or 6 years. So I think it's a really good move, to be fair. He's obviously got things that he needs to work on, and a little bit of a prolonged spell around the first team without any injuries will obviously help towards that, kind of get himself back on track, because it's been a little bit of a tough kind of calendar year for him personally, hasn't it, with the injuries that he's had. He had that freak eye injury, didn't he, about 12 months ago, and then he kind of opened up on the stress reaction that he had earlier in the season. But generally, I think it's a good news for Liverpool, and I don't think he's going to be someone who's going to be a regular where he's playing every single week and he's one of the first names on the team sheet. But as a squad player, I think he's a very useful addition for Jurgen Klopp to have. So It's good news, really, regardless of the idiots who, for whatever reason, have seemed to have taken a dislike towards Curtis Jones. Probably the fact that he's a Liverpoolian, for whatever difference that seems to make, it does. But generally, yeah, good news for, certainly great news for him, and good news for the kind of future-proofing of Liverpool's midfield options. We know that the midfield is going to be an issue sooner rather than later, really, with the, you know, contract situations with the Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita, and then the age of the likes of Henderson, Milner and Thiago. So, generally this should be seen as a good thing, and hopefully this is the one now where he can really kick on and, you know, fulfill that potential that we've all seen over the last two to three years.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a really good player in Curtis Jones. I think as much as anything else, it's probably that he's just not a new transfer. He's not Jude Bellingham. Yeah. He's not one of those. It's just, you know, one of those things where you kind of rate the players that you don't have in some ways more than the ones that you do. But it feels as well, Theo, that he's kind of judged a little bit unfairly in the fact that we've seen him come through the academy and be a very creative attacking player. That's not the player that Jurgen Klopp and Pep Linders have moulded him into at Liverpool so far. It might be the player that he becomes in future years. Maybe, who knows, by the end of this contract, that is what he is for Liverpool. But it does kind of feel like people have got an expectation of what he should be based on what he was when he was 19. He's maybe moved away from that a little bit. But that's not to say that he can't have value by doing what he is doing for Liverpool. You can see it both ways.
I think there's an impatience from the fans. Like, you see a player scoring goals or getting these assists at youth level, and now you just want them to be doing it the first team straight away. You want them to be getting fans off the seats and making that immediate difference. And with Curtis Jones, he's been very unlucky with these injuries. He's been in and out on the side. It's easy to forget that very few teenagers do go in and make that instant impact. It takes time. The game's performances go up and down. They struggle with consistency. You're not all going to be like Steven Gerrard's, Jude Bellingham's, or whatever. Majority of players will find that take time to find their feet at the senior level. And with Curtis Jones, you could say, well, he's not found a specific role in this Liverpool team. It's like, is he a left winger? Is he going to be this attacking number eight? Could he be a number 10? We've seen him, I think, even trailed as a number six for a half maybe in the League Cup, and it didn't really work. But he's not really nailed down any of these positions. And he's not been able to showcase the best of his talents. consistently, and that's not helped with the injuries. As soon as like you think, oh, this is his chance, he's going to get a run in the team, he's been unavailable for whatever reason. And then when things aren't going well for Liverpool, it's very easy to scapegoat him, to point the finger at him and say, oh, it's because we've got players like Curtis Jones in midfield, would be winning this game if Thiago was available or whatever. Thiago's 32, I think. If Thiago was, even if when he's fully fit, he's not going to be in this Liverpool team when Curtis Jones's contract expires. Like, Liverpool are looking to the future here, and this is part of the reason why they're going to overhaul the midfield in 2023, move on these players that are out of contract or are injury prone, and focus on Harvey Elliott, the Curtis Jones, and try and put some new signings in around them. Like Gorsty said, it's hard to predict at this point that seeing being a regular first team player starting every week for Liverpool, but he's still very young. Who's to say what he can achieve if he does get a run of games, if he does offer the goals and the assists that we saw earlier in his academy career? At least he's versatile and he does a job. Maybe he's not this big goal scoring midfielder that we thought he might be, but there's another case of Scouse midfielder comes through academy, you automatically go, next Steven Gerrard. There is never going to be the next Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard was one of a kind. He is Curtis Jones. He now needs to shed off these injuries that he's had in the past and show what he can really do and make his own name. We've seen promising signs so far. And hopefully, after the World Cup, he'll get some games, he'll get a decent run of games and show what he can do. Like, we know Naby Keita, even if he's free of injury, it's looking like he's entering the last 6 months of his Liverpool career. That should mean more opportunities there. Harvey Elliott's the perfect example. He's had a run of games in the past, what, month, 6 weeks, and he's going from strength to strength. Hopefully Curtis Jones can do the same.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it, Rich? I think it's just a case of finding that consistency, and it's consistency in his game, but that only comes when you get consistent games. You've got to keep yourself off the treatment table. That's not something he's been able to do really for a full season up to this point, but as soon as he does that, that's probably the time to judge him rather than now.
Well, it is and it isn't, isn't it? Because he's going to be judged either way. There's been many players down the line who've been promising players at Liverpool, but then have found themselves in the treatment room more often than they would like, and have been judged by not being available as much as what they've actually done on the pitch. So there's two sides to that, really. But first and foremost, I think it's great news that he signed a new contract. A young, talented player who's good on the ball, can retain possession and be a calming influence on that midfield, which is something Liverpool are going to need. I've kind of swayed two ways in terms of what Liverpool's most pressing matter is with the midfield at the moment. But earlier in the season, I was like, oh, just need stability and, you know, get the old heads in there, get a grip of this game because we look so disjointed in midfield. But the penny has dropped. I mean, basically, we just literally do not have the legs in midfield that we used to. And we're now in a situation where we're playing teams further down the divisions who can match Liverpool in midfield because they've got the energy, they've got the work rate, and any advantage Liverpool may have had in terms of quality and creativity is being counteracted by that work rate. So the young players are really important at the moment, and it's the same with Harvey Elliott, is someone who I've pointed, I think, hasn't been especially effective in a lot of his games this season, the last one excluded, of course. But these players are vitally important because of the work rate that they can put in. And I think that will be a chance now for Curtis Jones to hopefully get some sort of run and really try and, you know, pin down a position or an area of specialism, shall we say, which he can make his own. Because I do think that is, if he's going to define his Liverpool career, his Liverpool first team career, he is going to have to do that at some point. Otherwise, no one will really know what he is. But I was reading the quotes he put out after he'd signed his new contract, and he just made a really simple but key point. You know, he joined the club when he was about 6 years old, and he's worked his way right the way through to the top, playing in one of the best teams in Europe for the last couple of years. How many Liverpool players can say that they've done that? How many have come through that route and survived from start to finish? It's, you know, you think of your Fowlers and your Owens and Trents and Gerrards, but there's not many, is there? It's a really difficult thing to achieve. And he's done that, and he's deserved his seat at the table. Now he just needs to take it on to the next level.
And he's done that, of course, at a time when Liverpool have been as good as they've ever been, Gorsty. It's not like he's come into a Liverpool team of a decade ago where probably if he had have done that, he would have been playing every single week. He's come into a Liverpool team that's got Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson, all the other names in there. You do need that squad, as you mentioned before. He's got a role to play over the next few years.
Yeah, I think the biggest criticism you can have of him is he's probably still in the same position he was when he first broke into the team. You know, someone who's looked at as a squad player to come in and play the odd few minutes in the Premier League and start in the cup games. But that's not a huge slight on someone when you look at the squad that Liverpool have got. And as you say there, you know, certainly the last 2-3 years have been the best Liverpool team of my lifetime. And, you know, not everyone can kind of come in and play every week for them. So it's not a major criticism that he's not hugely kicked on because he's still only 21. So I just think he's in a really good place, to be fair. You know, for the long term, he's just signed a new contract. And now it's a time for him to try and kick on and see if he can kind of become a little bit more of a regular. But I don't think there's any, you know, incredible rush on him having to do that in the next 6 months. Otherwise, it's time to cast him aside. Let's just see what he can do. I do think he could be an option on the left of the front three at times. I think Liverpool don't have too much strength and depth in those areas. Certainly on the right side, where Salah plays, they haven't got anyone after he beyond Salah. On the left, there's a little bit more versatility in terms of Jota can go out there and Nunes if he absolutely has to. But I think Jones can play in a midfield three, or he can play on that left as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, let's just see what happens in the coming weeks, months and years with him. He certainly played with loads of talent. He's got things he needs to work on, obviously, but I wouldn't be kind of, you know, as I said at the top of my answer, my first answer, I was kind of dismayed by all these faceless accounts who seem to be dismayed by the news. I had a few replying to me on Twitter and I don't quite get it. So, yeah, good news for, certainly for him and his family, good news for the club, and let's see if he can really push on now and have a really strong season.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Do you know what, though? If you think about the whole sort of argument that FSG haven't invested enough money in top players or over the whole midfield or whatever, that whole argument, which obviously has its own special place in social media, I suppose you look at like Curtis Jones, he's kind of like the poster boy for the opposite, isn't he? You know what I mean? The homegrown player, didn't cost much, and he's knocking around the first team, and it's the complete opposite to that argument, isn't it? So he's probably been a little bit of a fall guy in that respect, I would imagine, which can stick, can't it? But hopefully he can do the business on the pitch and continue to do it to prove people like that wrong.
Yeah, I think we all agree that at the very least he's going to be a squad player, Theo, moving forward. So I'm sure he'll back himself. He certainly doesn't lack confidence. He's going to be one of those players that will look at it and think that he can become much more than that. But what do you think it is that is the next step for him? What has he got to work on to take the next step forward to Liverpool?
He's got to stop picking up these injuries. That's harsh because it's not as though he's injury prone in the same way as maybe a Keita or an Oxlade-Chamberlain. Like, pretty freakish injuries, aren't they? When you think the stress one and his leg, and then the eye injury as well. He's just had really rotten luck at times. Liverpool, we've seen his talent when he's had games. He just needs to get more games. He needs to show what he can do. Like, obviously, he's a Liverpool fan, and I think it weighs on his shoulders a little bit. Like, in the Leeds game, he came on and he almost created a goal out of nothing within seconds of coming on. But then a couple of passes go astray, fans get on his back, and I think he just stormed down the tunnel at the final whistle. You know how much that defeat would have hurt him, how much a poor performance would have hurt him. They've discussed before, some of the senior players in the Liverpool squad, that the younger players are on social media a lot. So you'd imagine Curtis Jones is aware that there is a section of the fan base that doesn't rate him, doesn't want him at the club, would rather Liverpool got rid of him and use the funds to go and sign a Jude Bellingham or someone like that, despite the fact that Jude Bellingham is a teenager and he's still an England international and he's got the hype around him. That doesn't mean he's going to come in and be this consistent player that's performing week on week until he gets to that next level himself. Granted, he's higher along the pecking order than Curtis Jones at the moment. But there is a talent there, as Gorsty said. He's just not made the steps we wanted him to make because the competition is so strong, because he's had these injuries, and because it's been a really hard time to be a professional footballer when you think about it, with these shortened pre-seasons, with lots more fixtures coming up, with the pandemic, with the mid-season World Cup. That's even harder for him to get rhythm. This will sound like we're just making excuses to write away what's gone wrong for Curtis Jones. But it takes its toll on any player. You can understand why. He just needs to catch a break, doesn't he? If something falls his way, gets rid of the injuries, gets a run in the team and just find that rhythm that he has been missing throughout his career, we're going to see him make that next step. And it's also another one, international-wise, he's going to have the under-21s Euros next year. That could be a big stage for him to go and show his abilities there. Like, he's one of the older ones, one of the more senior players in that group. That is a chance for him to show his abilities on the international stage, get some confidence, and then come back to Liverpool and go, yeah, I belong at this level.
I'm sure he's one of those as well that will benefit from this mid-season training camp, Gorsty. We'll come to that next. We'll talk a little bit about the World Cup as well. But obviously, all of the players that are not going to the World Cup for Liverpool will be going to Dubai. I think it's for 12 days, isn't it? A couple of games in there. That's surely got to be something that Jurgen Klopp is eyeing up to try and fix a few things. And Curtis Jones and plenty of others as well, I'm sure, are looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's actually a really strong squad that's going to be going, really, because Liverpool have only got 7 representatives at the World Cup, which I think is the lowest number since 2006. So Konate is going, Van Dijk, obviously Alisson and Fabinho and Trent and Jordan Henderson. I think that's
everyone.
Darwin Nunes and Taffarel, of course, yeah. So Klopp's going to have plenty of big names out in Dubai, and so it's going to be a little bit different in terms of it. You know, if you liken it to a summer tour when Liverpool fly to Dubai or fly to Thailand or America or whatever, they're normally waiting for the big stars to join on, aren't they? Because if there's been internationals at the end of the season, they get granted extra time off. This time, they're going to be going to Dubai with the likes of, you know, obviously Mo Salah, Luis Diaz will be working his way back, won't he? Diogo Jota's probably still going to be too injured to feature, but they're going to have the likes of Joel Matip, Andy Robertson, Thiago, of course, because he's not in the Spain squad. So generally, it's going to be, you know, a lot more kind of star-studded than it normally would be. And then they've got the games against Lyon and AC Milan to come as part of the tour, the Dubai Super Cup, with some strange rules. I haven't quite got my head around how it works yet, actually. What is it? 3 points for a win and then a penalty shootout at the end of a game, I think, regardless of what happens, and then you get an extra point for that. Bit strange, but all part of the exhibition fun, I guess. So yeah, I think Liverpool have had it kind of in the bag for a while. They looked at a camp in South Africa before settling on. Before settling on Dubai, and yeah, it should be a useful tour for them before the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of players who are looking forward to it, Rich. I think one of the ones that I would pick out is Calvin Ramsey, actually, who's stepped up at international level this week and played a couple of games for Scotland. But he's one of those that was injured during pre-season, didn't have that time. But it is a rarity that you get this in the middle of the season. Jurgen Klopp had it, of course, in Germany. But I think for someone like Ramsey, this could be a real time to stand up and shine.
Well, to be honest with you, Matt, if we're looking for someone to bomb up and down the wing, we should be looking no further than Gorsty's dog. You know, been up and down those stairs about 3 times so far in our podcast, and he looks a bit lively. So maybe Jurgen should take a proper look at him in Dubai this winter. Got nothing to lose on him. No, in terms of Calvin Ramsey, we got a little bit of a look at him, didn't we, the other night against Derby. And it was an assured performance. I did think he was a bit nervous, a bit a bit conservative in terms of getting forward, which is probably understandable if you're making your first team debut in front of a full Anfield. And obviously, if you're playing at the back, you don't want to make a mistake. So we know he can get forward a lot more than he did, really. And I'm looking forward to see a bit more of that. And Jabai is probably a good opportunity to see that, because he's been brought in as an understudy to Trent, and he'll be expected to put him under a certain degree of pressure from the off, especially when there's been a little bit more focus on Trent than perhaps he and Jurgen Klopp would have liked in any case. But there's a bit of a change of the guards now with Liverpool. There's a lot of young players knocking about now. We've seen the emergence of Ben Doak come to the fore in the last couple of weeks, and he certainly showed no fear when he graced the Anfield turf the other week and was back in action again this week for Scotland under 21. So there's some good young Scottish players. It's a bit like back in the 80s, isn't it, really? We've got a new wave coming in, and Ramsey's certainly a player who looks like he's been doing a great job in Aberdeen. And if there's anything to take out of two matches with guaranteed penalties at the bottom, at the end of the game, it's either the actions of Gravine Kelleher or seeing some of these new players on the pitch, and Ramsey will certainly be one to watch.
Yeah, Liverpool always have a Scottish player, don't they, when they win the league? So not a bad thing to have a few of those stockpiled up. So, you mentioned a few players in there as well, Rich. I'll come to you, Theo, next on this one. Mohamed Salah, as well, is another one that I think looked a little bit jaded, shall we say, at the back end of last season. But for all of these players, you kind of look at this as an opportunity just to reset and go again collectively, individually. We probably see the best of someone like that after the back of this break. It could really work in his favour.
Yeah, all being well, the season starts here for Liverpool. I think even us as journalists, when we're talking about it, it feels like last season didn't end. It felt like we went straight into the next one without a long enough summer break, without a long enough pre-season. No matter how much time had passed from the Champions League final, Liverpool were at the King Power playing the Community Shield again. It's like, well, if journalists are feeling knackered just going around to games, how are these first team players feeling having to have these games three times a week, every single week, when the stakes were never higher? Granted, this season they're still playing three times a week and the standards have dropped a little bit. You can understand why there'd be fatigue in those legs. And mental fatigue as well, when you think of someone like Salah, when 2022 on paper should have been his year. Liverpool were going for all these major honours. There was a World Cup to look forward to. He was looking forward to hopefully challenging for a Ballon d'Or. He was in contention. He gets that hat-trick at Old Trafford. You're thinking, yep, Mohamed Salah, this is your season. But then 2022 has just not happened. He wins a couple of domestic cups, loses the AFCON final, fails to make the World Cup, and loses Champions League, loses the Premier League. He's found a bit of form in recent weeks. He's not at the explosive best that we saw in the first half of last season. But for those sorts of players, this break has come at a great time. Maybe they'd have liked to still be playing. They'd like a bit of rhythm. And for Mohamed Salah, he'd certainly like to be out there in Qatar playing at this World Cup. But it's a chance for him to have a break, recharge his batteries. And then Liverpool can make the most of this trip to Dubai and have a proper second pre-season. Like we've said on this podcast a few times now, pre-season wasn't long enough. The summer break wasn't long enough. It was just, a month they had to prepare from reporting back on July the 4th for then the Community Shield. That isn't enough for elite athletes to get to the standards they need to be ready for the next 10 months to go again. So they'll be looking forward to working hard in Dubai and getting up to the right fitness levels. It'd be a good chance for the likes of Diaz to move, hopefully a giant step closer to making a playing return in January, if not at the end of December. It's come at a good time for Liverpool. And then you've got the looming prospect of the January transfer window, where hopefully they can find another Luis Diaz to give another shot in the arm to this squad, and they can just go from strength to strength in 2023, even if it is just hopefully getting one over on Real Madrid for once in the Champions League.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And as much as they'll have, you know, a bit of time, Gorsi, to work on a few things and try and fix things, I mean, to me, like Theo says there, the break that they're getting feels as big, if not even bigger, is just that they're going to have a bit of a rest. They're going to be able to refresh themselves. And as Theo again said, the same really for us. I think I'm looking forward to this break, certainly. I don't know about you, but it does just feel like a bit of a rest as much as anything else would do Liverpool good.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks off, really. Nothing major, just some time where they're not constantly playing fixtures. Just to rest one or two little knocks that they might have, for one or two little kind of unofficial injuries, if you like, because I'm sure there are players there who are carrying knocks who've had to kind of play to the pain barrier. I don't think Jordan Henderson's been fit all season, to be perfectly honest, and I'm hoping that he doesn't get too many minutes out of the World Cup from a kind of, you know, selfish Liverpool point of view. Don't think Trent would be playing much anyway, given the well-documented aversion that Gareth Southgate has to him anyway. So, I think it'll be a very beneficial period for Liverpool as a whole, because as I mentioned before, they've got quite a lot of the big stars with them at Dubai. And you know, players like Konate, not really a regular for France, so we might not be playing much. Alisson, you'd expect to be playing, but you know, that's a goalkeeper that kind of specialised. He can play plenty of minutes, can't he? Fabinho, don't think he plays regularly, does he, for Brazil? Van Dijk, you know, you kind of have to expect that. He's the captain of Netherlands, and you know, if anyone does well in Qatar, I hope it's him, because you know, player of his quality to only be now making this kind of major international tournament debut is a strange quirk. Obviously had the injury, didn't he, in the Euros, and decided not to go. So hope he does well, but generally it's a bit of a strange tournament, isn't it? I'm sure we're going to come on to it, but I just feel cold about the entire thing. This is the week that the World Cup starts, and at no point have I even looked at the fixture list and looked at what games I might want to watch. It just all seems a bit indifferent at best, to be honest. That's before you'd even come to any of the model issues, which are going to blight the entire tournament.
Yeah, I feel the exact same, to be honest. It just doesn't feel quite normal. Obviously, it's a different time of year, all the rest of it. And I know, Theo, you're banging to England and the World Cup and all of that. Are you the same as me and Gorsi, or are you slightly more enthused by it all?
I wouldn't say I'm banging to England. I just enjoy watching something that I don't see regularly.
Relatively.
I am and I'm not. It doesn't feel like a World Cup. It's coming at the wrong time of year. We've got all the moral questions about it being in Qatar. It shouldn't be out there. But then it is just a good time to sit back and watch football as a fan. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. The fact that you can have games on at like 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and it is still like some of the best players across the world. Granted, I don't think I'm going to be tuning in for that opening game, which is Qatar versus Ecuador. But for some of the games, they are going to be decent prospects. And it is nice to just take that step back, because I don't tend to watch every single Premier League game during the season, because I was having this conversation with Doyle yesterday, actually, because Tom Cavilla was asking us, why don't we watch more Premier League football? And it's because when it's on our days off, we want to switch off. Like, it's all very well when you're watching Liverpool week in, week out, but there's only so much football you can watch when you're in that zone. But now, a few weeks to recharge your batteries, can have that few weeks to watch it as a fan. Maybe keep an eye on the players that Liverpool fans get excited about. We've been linked in the gossip columns, and then get some ideas for stories ourselves. It's just looking at it from a different angle completely. But yeah, it still shouldn't be in Qatar, shouldn't be in November, December. Hopefully we're back to normality, what, in 2026, USA, Canada and Mexico. But yeah, it's never as good as club football anyway. Any slight excitement at it being something a bit different, I'm still more looking forward to that Man City game in the League Cup after recharging our batteries.
I think that's one of the bigger things for me with England is it's just not as good as watching the Champions League. The football you get used to during the season, it's not even the same sort of standard. But Rich, what about you? Tournament favourites, or are you not so much into it?
I love the World Cup, okay? And always have done. The first World Cup I can remember was Mexico 86. But the first one I actually watched properly from start to finish was Italia 90. And that pretty much tuned me into a love for not so much international football, but for major international tournaments. And of course, back then, football wasn't quite as non-stop. It wasn't televised non-stop like it is now. You were learning a lot about new players and people that you'd never seen before. I think the ban from Europe for English clubs was still in place at that point, so it was like a new world. San Siro, what's this, and all those type of things. So I've got a lot of affinity to the tournament. And my lad's 11 now, and he's getting me. I've said to him the other day, this is something you'll want to watch because you'll remember the last one, but you won't remember it properly. And this is an opportunity to tune in to the whole idea of what the World Cup's supposed to be and how you discover new players and how teams get knocked out that are not supposed to be knocked out and stuff like that. The problem, of course, is that the dynamic is different to a normal World Cup. It's being played in the middle of a domestic club season. It's in a country that, quite frankly, shouldn't be hosting it. They've had to build infrastructure from scratch, which makes you, aside from anything else, the fact that that just that needs to be done makes you question how on earth it got awarded the World Cup in the first place. And there's all kinds of other restrictions in place. The moral issues about what is acceptable over there, what isn't, their views on certain things. Obviously, no alcohol now has been as of today, I think, which is obviously pretty close to the start of the tournament, say, for making a decision like that, especially when one of your sponsors of the World Cup is Budweiser. But it's the bottom line is, in terms of like making a moral stance against it, it's too late. England are playing. All the other teams that are in it are playing. They've signed up for it. They don't have to go. They didn't have to go, but they've all signed up to it. So that, for me, that horse has bolted. If they wanted to make a point like that, that should have been done right at the start. Nothing's changed. People knew pretty much what the landscape of this World Cup was well before we got to this point now. But it's too late for all that now. So I will be watching it. I'll be watching it with a keen eye. Doesn't mean I approve of where it is, far from it. But I'm going to drag my son off YouTube and make sure he's watching these games. And because these are, you might see something out of the ordinary. We have in many World Cups before. And my sort of whole knowledge of international football was built on those early World Cups and understanding the history that went before it as well. And I'd like to think he'll do the same. But I would have liked, if we take away the fact that it's in the middle of a season, would have liked a few more Liverpool players to be involved. But I'm absolutely with Gorsley in the fact that it's probably a bit of a blessing in disguise that there aren't too many going, and it is an ideal opportunity for Liverpool to have a bit of a reset and try and get this Premier League season going. But I'll be watching the World Cup, and I'm even going to watch Qatar-Ecuador because I've got Ecuador. Sorry, not Ecuador. I've got Qatar in the Echo sweep. Along with those other international powerhouses, South Korea and Denmark. So I don't think I'll be getting the drinks in at the Christmas party somehow. But either way, I'm going to look forward to the World Cup for what it's worth.
Yeah, something to give you a reason to watch it anyway. Theo, do you want to come in?
No, I've just accidentally pressed the unmute button.
Oh, in that case, well, we'll... if nobody else has got any more thoughts on the World Cup, I think we'll leave it there for today's podcast. No team selection, of course, not until after the World Cup. Now, if you are watching the World Cup, do stick across the Echoes channels as well for all of the updates around Liverpool too. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.